This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The views and opinions expressed in the Golden Boot Podcast are those of the speaker and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of the Golden Boot Podcast as a whole.
Y'all ready to get rolling? Quiet on the set. Hey, welcome back. Another hot episode of HBCU. It's your boy Pooh Bear. Got my man Ant Petty Murphy in the building. What's good with you, my boy?
What's happening with it, bro?
Man, we in there. We hanging in there. Day after Juneteenth, man, I was at work ruining people's childhood. Was in there. It's funny because we was just talking and I just randomly, it was random, like real random. So y'all know traffic is racist. Dude looked at me like, what? And I started breaking down. I said, and dude, another dude was like, I don't know what they were talking about. He said, I only eat vanilla ice cream. I said, did you know vanilla ice cream is racist? Bruh, it was so funny. And I started breaking it down. They were cracking up. I was like, I can't believe you said that. Then I told him about Nancy Reagan and her.
How is traffic racist?
Okay. You ready for this? Okay. So Atlanta, let's do it for Atlanta, for example. So in Atlanta, the interstate and the way it's designed, it was designed to keep white people from driving through black neighborhoods and vice versa. So they literally designed traffic, as bad as it is, just to avoid them driving through neighborhoods. That's just Atlanta. Now, other cities, and most cities, if you look at the way they have designed highways and interstates and stuff like that, they typically always divide black neighborhoods. You never really see highways and interstates divide black neighborhoods. Look it up. I guarantee you. They literally established neighborhoods. They'll put one there and drive through.
I get what you're saying, but you're making the assumption that those neighborhoods have always been black neighborhoods.
And I'm not, this is not something I'm guessing. Look it up. I guarantee you. Dude looked it up. He Googled it and he was like, well, I'll be damned. In the 1950s and 60s, they were used to divide up urban neighborhoods with the residents being people of color. I guarantee you. I promise you. I was like, he thought I was making it up. And then he said, man, what else you gonna tell me? I said, he said, what about my shirt? I said, it's made of cotton. I said, I ain't going there. We're going to leave it at that. And we moved on. But yeah, man, fight the power. Anyway, man, we got a good one tonight. We got the crew back together, man. Listen, when we started talking about doing this show again, what we, you know what I'm saying, breaking down the teams, I had this date circled. I was looking forward to this, man, because every time this crew get together, man, it's some funny happens, somebody say something wild, good times. And I'm going to go ahead and say it on, I say it off the record, I'm going to say it on the record. I've been looking at everybody being making these predictions about their teams, and you know what I'm saying, 10 wins, 9 wins, 8 wins, 10 wins, 9 wins, 8 wins. Somebody lying. Somebody lying. And at the end, the date, matter of fact, it's going to be, I think it's the July 15th, night before SWAT Media Day. We're going to do a kind of breakdown show, talk about everybody, do predictions and stuff like that. Yeah, we're going to talk about who lying. We're going to figure it out. We're going to get some people on here, you know what I'm saying, figure it out. But, Jay White coming in hot. Overrated Bama State. Mm. Yep, we finna find that. We finna find that. But before we even get started, man, I'm gonna go ahead and get the way now because I forgot last night. So I'm gonna go ahead and get out the way now. I'm gonna give a shout out to our sponsor over at BetOnline. BetOnline.ag. We'll be back in 1 minute. BetOnline.ag is your number one source for all your sports information, stats, news, and scores. Get the latest odds, lines, and player injury reports for this year's NBA and NHL playoffs. BetOnline is always your sports information headquarters. This season, we have you covered for all your sports wagering needs. We have everything from NBA, NFL, MLB, and NHL to golf, tennis, UFC, and boxing. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to get your betting info, including live betting options and your favorite casino and card games that you can play right from your home. Head on over to betonline.ag today or use your mobile device to get in on the action. Be sure to use the promo code BLEAV to receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, where the game starts. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to welcome back to HBCU. These gentlemen don't need no introduction, but it's proper. We got to give it to them. Representing the Big Bad Braves, none other than our man, G. A, affectionately known as G ESPN. Welcome back, G. Uh-oh, my bad.
What's good? What's good?
All right. Now, we only got half the duo. The other half somewhere to Megan Thee Stallion concert twerking for his birthday. But we got our man Kendall Manns from the Wild Card with us. Appreciate you coming back.
Yo, and, appreciate it. Appreciate you.
And I'm just saying now, we won him the first time he came on. I guess he just feel like, hey, I come out, you know, if I get canceled, I get canceled. But shout out to Zach for continuing to hang with us. Firm of action to stay strong. Wait, welcome back with us.
Well, you starting already.
Oh, man. Hey, man, listen. We done had Zach on so many times. And I just, every time he come out, I be thinking to myself, Zach must don't care about his ratings. He must don't care. People gonna cancel him.
But, nah, man.
But nah, Zach, good peoples, man. I always appreciate having him. G, same thing, man. We first seen at the SWAT Media Day. Mm-hmm. Man, you was over there finding out who ain't come and getting they chicken.
Eating all their chicken.
Eating all their chicken. And our man Kendall. Oh, I told you before the show, you're gonna have to hold it down for the hot take. Khalil A. Smith ain't here. Happy birthday to my boy.
Yeah, man. Happy birthday to the man. Happy birthday to him.
Yes, sir. Man, before we get started, man, I said it before the show, saying now, congratulations, Kendall. You and Khalil on the graduation, man. Major props, and y'all still doing big things, still representing. And
yes, sir. Appreciate that.
Looking to continue on. Zach, you know how it is. We always appreciate the growth and having you on. And same with you, G, with the Golden Helm, doing that show as well with Swacking the Fool, man. Congratulations, and Appreciate everybody and everything that's going on.
Appreciate it.
All right. Now we're gonna have to get started. We're gonna have to who gonna start line first? Who gonna tell us they team going
I'm gonna put it to you like this. I feel like Zach gonna be the most neutral person.
And here we go
covering their team. So I feel like we can go and get him out the way first, then we can get to the lies.
All right. Zach, thank you for coming on again as always, covering Tennessee State. Talking about, the Tigers of, Nashville. Last year, let's talk about last year before we move forward. Last year, they started off strong. Looked like they were, possibly headed towards a playoff berth. And then, I ain't going to say the wheels fell off, but, they caught a flat. They caught a flat. So,
the whole bus broke down somewhere along the way. Because you think 2 years, right? Because you guys think 2 years ago, going into that SEMO game, they were number one in the division with a chance to win and go get beat 42-0 at home and give up a rushing record to Geno Hess. Then last year, they were rolling, and then Charleston Southern comes in and beats them 35-21. I don't know if they crossed the 50. It got bad toward the ends of last year, man. I mean, losing to Tennessee Tech multiple years, which wasn't a good team. But the positive was it was their first winning season since 2017 last year.
What do they – because I know they lost a couple players and stuff. Key players that they lost.
The whole defense. I think they're returning two defensive starters from last year. I mean, and maybe three if you include Jalen Bell, the transfer from Mississippi Valley State who got hurt. I think it was the second game of the year. He's going to be a force at D-tackle, but their defense is just going to be revamped. And then you look at offensive line. They lost three starters, four with the tragedy that happened this offseason with Paige at center. They're going to have a fully new offensive line, but they hit the portal hard, man. They brought in over 25 transfers, and I think they have the fourth most FBS transfers in the country. So they went and loaded up in the portal, and I think they're going to be decent. It's just, is that offense going to gel? Now, luckily, you do return a lot of starters offensively, I think seven, which most of the new starters will be on the offensive line. But to me, the conversation, when I was on the show last year, I said the conversation started with Draylen Ellis. It still starts with Draylen Ellis. It doesn't matter who they bring in, who leaves. If their defense has ranked top three in the conference for like three straight years under Brandon Fisher, if Draylen Ellis can't turn into the Draylen Ellis that he was at Austin Peay, Tennessee State's not winning a championship at the end of the day. And so it comes down to whether Draylen Ellis can finally live up to the hype in year three with a new offensive coordinator who was over at UT Martin. I don't, Partridge has won, I think, three straight conference titles in this conference. So maybe he's the missing piece. But to me, it begins and ends with Draylen Ellis, and the pressure's all on him offensively.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go with the new coordinator. What expectations on how much you think his imprint will be seen on the offense and how much you think they can improve with him at the helm?
I think they'll improve. I think it's a different – it's going to be a little bit of a different approach. Like Tennessee State's always kind of run the ball. But when you look at those UT Martin offenses, they're not afraid to just run it down people's throats and not be ashamed of it. I mean, you look at the running back they had last year was an All-American – transferred to Oklahoma, I think, Sam Franklin, one of the best running backs in the country. You look at their running back room, it's loaded. The question with his scheme, though, is he going to have the offensive lineman to block for him? Because you got Jordan Gant, who was a freshman All-American last year. I think he had 510 touchdowns last year. Pretty good for a freshman. Then they added C.J. Evans from Austin Peay, who I think for his career has run for over 1,300 yards and is a really big receiving back, which gives him another – I would just say another weapon they didn't have last year. They really didn't have a running back last year that can get it out of the backfield like that. And I do think their wide receiver core is experienced, but I just don't know if they have that elite playmaker. Like when you look at some of the elite teams around HBCU football, you can point to a guy on the outside and it's like, that's who I can look for when things break down. I don't know if Draylen Ellis necessarily has that guy yet. Now, Dayron Johnson has a lot of potential, but if he's going to be that guy, he has to take a huge step forward. And they also added a kid from Tennessee Tech, Jaleel Dean. he's probably the breakout player offensively if I had to guess at that wide receiver spot. But they got four guys that played over probably three, 400 snaps last year. So wide receiving core is loaded. But look for the rushing attack to be the identity of the team.
Yeah. As far as I know, we talked a little bit about, you know, having a new offensive coordinator. They've had two brand new offensive coordinators in this offseason. What should we expect from the play caller this year?
For the ones who know safety isn't a catchphrase, it's a culture. And the ones who help make sure everyone makes it home safe. For the safety-minded who watch everyone's backs, Grainger offers supplies and solutions for every industry, as well as safety assessments and training to keep your facilities safe and your people safer. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I mean, just consistency, man. I mean, because you look, I think, the past two seasons, how many games they could have won if they just had a decent offense. Do you guys remember that Jackson State game with Prime 2 years ago in the Southern Heritage Classic, where that defense was murdering Shador for like 3.5 quarters, and they just couldn't get the ball across the 50? They beat Jackson in 2022 if they just have a half a decent offense. They go and lose to Murray State 2 years ago, only giving up like 150 yards defensively. You can't lose games like that. I just need him to be in the top half of the conference. If you can rank somewhere that 3-4 range and Brandon Fisher just does what he does with that defense, I think Tennessee State's going to be just fine, man. I need Travis Parker just to get this offense to average ability, because the inconsistencies have been too much. And really, you look last year, their best offensive outputs were against bad teams. The Lincolns, the Norfolk States, who else you want to throw in? The UAPBs. But you have to put those stats up against the UT Martins, the SEMOs, the Tennessee Techs next year, the Eastern Illinois. Can they do it against elite defenses? I don't know yet.
I see Jones Sean 1 said Eric George, stay tuned. And he also said wide receiver from JUCO at Tennessee State, stay tuned. So
yeah, and Eric's Eddie's son. He was a freshman All-American last year. He was actually Terrell Allen's backup at that edge spot. They moved him inside for a few games. I expect him to be the full-time starter at edge. I think he's got so much potential, man, because you got a returning starting D-tackle. Jalen Bell's the second D-tackle. You got Eric at one edge, and they added a guy named Keandre Booker from SEMO, who had 20 tackles for loss at SEMO, has like 30, 40 games of experience. Those two guys are your edge rushers. Your last question for me is linebacker. They lost a lot of talent at linebacker. You look at Monroe Beard. You look at James Green. Who are they going to bring in at linebacker? And that's my biggest question mark defensively, because I do think they had some young talent in the secondary that just really hasn't had a chance to shine yet. And if it can all come together, man, this could be a special season for Tennessee State.
You want to go down the schedule?
Yeah, hold on. We can go down the schedule. Before we do get there, I want to ask this. Last year was said to be a make or break year for Eddie George. I think he cracked. I don't know if he's necessarily, make or break. But he did show improvement. Did that buy him some time, or is it more or less people still kind of, might be time to move on?
Man, this is such a tough question, because I don't think Tennessee State's in the same position that some of the other schools in the FCS or even like the MEAC and SWAC are. I don't think it's like I don't think it's a Connell Maynard situation. I don't think it's even the situation at Southern, where if you don't win in 2 years, they're going to end up firing you. But I do think it's one of those things where, like, if you got a bomb to your chest, you clip the wrong cord this year, that clock is going to be speeding up real, real fast. And, they haven't won a conference championship, guys, since 1999. I was like two when the last time they won a conference title. So I don't even know where the bar is set expectation-wise. Yeah, I just think you got to be in playoff contention, right? Because if you get to the last week of November, man, and you're like one win away from making the playoffs or winning the conference title, at least you set yourself up for next year. But if it's a thing where they go into late October – like that Howard game or right after that Howard game, and they end up losing and getting straight out of conference contention, lose like four of the last five or whatever, man, next year, I don't know what the conversation surrounding this program is going to be. This might not be a make or break year, but the pressure is definitely on Eddie to win something, man, because this team's been too talented to go home with nothing for the past 3 years.
Yeah. Shout out to our good people, you know what I'm saying, Simple. Appreciate the super chat. But it's funny, I got to check this one, this coming out. Erica says, they lost the whole defense, and y'all think y'all finna come to DC and beat us? It's been a lot of back and forth in that chat, you know. So it's gonna be interesting. Let's see what you think, though, Zach. Let's look at this schedule. All right. They open up with Mississippi Valley State.
Yeah, that's a win. I mean, I don't even know if I gotta explain that one. No, anybody else have that as a loss?
Nah, I ain't seeing nothing in the Valley. I'm never believing in Valley again. I don't care. They can get Jerry Rice and Willie Titan back. I'm not doing. They not breaking my heart. Nope.
Oh man. Next up, man.
We can just skip this one. It's going to be a bloodbath.
North Dakota State in Fargo. Yeah, I don't see.
Hold on. No, you got North Dakota State going to be coming off a loss to Deion and them at the.
They might not. And to be fair, it actually might be worse for them if they are, because North Dakota State thinks they're going to win that game.
Good point. They'll
get beat.
Good point.
Tennessee State's going to come in there like A&T did a few years ago and get 40 put on them in the first half.
That's a good point.
Yeah. First of all, shout out to Tennessee State for even playing this game. We know some schools duck that. Southern Heritage Classic, UAPB.
Yeah, that's a win. I don't have any faith in UAPB.
All right. Tennessee Tech at Tennessee.
Okay. Tech. I'll say this. I won't go too far into this. This ain't really an FCS show. I know Tennessee Tech has a new head coach. I think they're going to be sneakily good next year. They have a lot of talent coming back. So we did record predictions last week on them. And this was one of my 50-50 games. I think there's two on the schedule.
Yeah.
This is a 50-50 game. I got like a high and low for Tennessee State. If they lose this game, you're looking at a worst-case scenario. But if you win, you're right back into that conference championship. But right now, look, I'm going to give them a loss here as of right now, though.
All right. Charleston Southern.
That's a win. Charleston Southern's not going to be very good next year. They lost a lot. Now, I like their head coach over there, but last year, Tennessee State dominated that game and lost just because their offense was atrocious. I think they're going to be a lot better this year offensively, so I like Tennessee State over Charleston Southern.
All right. Lindenwood.
That's a win. As a team still transitioning from D2, I think they've beaten like two D1 teams since their transition.
Okay. Eastern Illinois.
That's a loss. That's probably the second best team in the conference. They went 8-3 last year, were one of the first four teams out. They return, I think, 18 starters from that team too, and including a quarterback, arguably the best cornerback in the conference. So yeah, that's a loss right there.
All right. Then you got Howard.
I got them beating Howard.
Ooh. Okay. All right. UT Martin.
That's a loss. I think UT Martin's the favorite again. I was a little bit down on them until they released. I got the updated like roster from them. Mm-hmm. Man, they're going to be loaded again. That's my pick to win the Big South OVC next year is UT Martin, returning quarterback, arguably the best wide receiving core in the conference, with Trevante Rucker, who was at Jackson State under Prime. He's probably their second best wide receiver over there. Arguably got the most experienced secondary and linebacking core. I think that's an L to UT Martin.
All right. Western Illinois.
That's a win. I don't know if Western Illinois has won. I don't think Western Illinois has won a game in 2 years now. So if they lose that game, Eddie might be out of there.
Yeah. Gardner Webb, which was a big upset last year.
It's not going to be a big upset this year. Gardner Webb returns one starter from last year's team because when their coach left, their whole team left. Mm-hmm. I think they added like 40 transfers this offseason. I don't even know what to expect from them, but that's never good. So I think Tennessee State gets Gardner Webb.
All right. And Southeast Missouri, SEMO.
And this was the other toss-up game for me, like the 50-50 game. If they win this game, what, you're sitting there at four losses, so you're 8-4, potentially in that large bid for the playoffs, depending on how the bubble shakes out. Probably don't get in, but at least you're in the conversation. You know, if you lose that game, it's a different thing. I'm going to give them the win there. SEMO does return Paxton DeLorean, a really good quarterback, has major questions at wide receiver and running back, but they do have a really, really solid secondary and linebacking core. But I'm going to give Tennessee State the win at home there for SEMO.
Yeah. So, yeah, 8-4. Benny says, that's the wrong one. Says 8-4 ceiling, 6-6 at worst.
That was mine. Yeah. 8-4, probably the ceiling. You know, I would say 9-3 if you, I mean, you would have to catch SEMO probably would be your best chance there. God, that's still tough though. I think 9-3 would be like everything went right for this team. Mm-hmm. But I think somewhere between 8-4 to 6-6 is probably 6-6 is worst case. 8-4, 7-5 would be probably where I would put them this year.
All right. Something else I've kind of asked everybody. Success for Tennessee State, look, not necessarily wins and losses, but success for Tennessee State is or looks like
just being competitive in all the conference games. There's been too many times over the past few years where they were the more talented team going into the game and just got the doors blown off of them. 42-0 to SEMO, shut out by Murray State, who was winless at the time. Look competitive. The only game that you should not even look like you belong on the field is North Dakota State. And if you can make that one look respectable for a quarter, that would be great. They're not going to win that game, but just look like you belong there. All the other games should be winnable for them. There's, if you look at the schedule, North Dakota State's the money game per se. All the rest, you should have a chance to win. So if you're in contention at the end of the year, that's really all you can ask for. And I think best case for them is you make a run for the conference title. You have to make a run eventually. This might be the year that they could do it.
All right. I like it. I like it. All right, fellas. I don't even know where to get started. I guess we can kind of bounce around. G,
what's up? Now y'all know I ain't got no problem with lying. I'm ready.
All right, let's talk about them big bad Braves, man. Last year, y'all. I think pretty much, I mean, story for the West. Everybody's in contention till, you know, saying somebody finally decides to win it. It looked like it was going to be a bounce back season. All the rumors about, you know, saying Big Mac, you know, had died down, and it looked like, hey, you know, saying show's going to keep rolling. Then all of a sudden, lo and behold, he's gone.
I ain't mad about it. I love the direction we're going in. I love the way the program going right now, the energy around the program. We got a young guy in the program that all the kids ready to go to practice. I tell them all the time, we don't have hostages no more. We have volunteers. They be itching to do stuff. You know what I'm saying? They ain't like, oh, you know, no complaining. I was getting so many complaints from parents and players. They love playing for this guy and so I'm excited. I love the direction we're going in.
I understand that and I respect that. But at the same time, we know what Mac was as a head coach. He was proven. You know what I mean? And what expectations does said guy have coming in following
that? I think he got big expectations because a lot of people that, we got older alums that, you know, they're looking at it like, you know, Fred won. And y'all celebrating Cedric Thomas being here. Cedric Thomas hadn't won. So he's looking at it like, he better come in and win, G. You're doing all this talking, but he better come in and win. And I think he understands that. And a lot of people don't understand. He did a lot of the legwork behind the scenes. He did a lot of the legwork. He did a lot of bridging that gap where Fred, see, we started to fall off after 2020 when the transfer portal took off, NIL took off, because Fred is an old school coach. So Cedric Thomas bridged that gap for us. He's the one that can relate to the players. When everything going bad, he didn't want getting the players all together. You know what I'm saying? So I think he's positive, but he got some big shoes to fill. But I think he up for the challenge.
Yeah. Rumble in the Jungle said Mac was proven. He won't be successful as Pred, in my opinion.
I disagree, but you know.
Yeah.
I can understand their take. You know, I can understand their take. Fred was a really good coach for us, did a really good job. I think the era changed messed Fred up. I think college football in 2019 is totally different from college football in 2024. There's two totally different things. Fred was good in that era, but we were building kids from freshmen up to seniors. We wasn't hitting too many transfers. Now we got to go recruit these transfers. Now we got to have a coach that's more relatable to these players. Fred ain't relatable. Good coach, but he's somebody you want to send your freshman to. You know what I'm saying? He going to be with this coach 4 years. Fred is that coach. But when we got to go in here and get these two-year kids that don't want to hear the same thing these high school kids want to hear, they want to hear a coach that can be relatable to them. And that's where Cedric Thomas wins over Fred. You know what I'm saying?
I like it. Adrian said, tell him, Adrian. Going into last season, I'll say this. Coming into last season, I did not think that, my thought was that Tyler Macon was, you know, about to, you know, say, propel y'all, you know, saying, take y'all new heights. Award that I don't think a lot of people, I think this guy deserved, I don't know if it exists, but player who deserves the biggest apology, I got to go to Aaron Anderson.
Aaron Allen.
He came out and I mean he had a stellar season.
I had to go to him myself. Like, my bad, dog. Look,
he hit him with that back. Hit him with that Mike Jones. Back then, they didn't want me. won a few games for y'all. Now
yeah, he did his thing. He really did. He did his thing. Stayed down. Didn't opt not to get surgery. Was away from the team in the summer, just rehabbing, and came back. You know, with a vengeance. He never dropped his head. Came back with a vengeance, and he did a good job.
I can't lie. I was like, please give one more year. I don't know what you got to do. Give one more year. Find a rule somewhere. Now, you know what I'm saying? Go ahead, Ant.
I was going to say, obviously, the quarterback play was kind of suspect at times. Then Aaron came in and kind of righted the ship. But the big part of the offense was obviously Jarvion. How do you replace that? And what do you expect the offense to look like this year?
You got to replace him by committee. You replace a player like that by committee. And I think we got some really, really good running backs. Sewell, Jacorian Sewell broke out last year towards the end of the year. He broke out. And I think also helping that running is fixing that line up front. See, because Jarvion Howell was really good, but he had the offensive line in front of him was a little shaky. You know what I'm saying? So I think we really went in on fixing the offensive line in front of him to get the backs behind him, make it easy on them. But we got some really good backs, two FBS transfers in the backfield. Plus Jacorian Sewell. So I'm excited about Sewell. I think Sewell is going to be the name. That's going to be the guy. He wore 28 for us last year. He broke out. So he's going to be the guy. And I think just being able to have a more balanced offense is going to help him as well. See, because, you know, until Aaron Allen broke out, people were just loading the box. He got all them rushing yards. People were really just loading the block. I think we kind of overran the Purple Rhino, as I like to call him, Agent Zero. I think we kind of overran him, kind of beat his body up toward the second year. He wasn't the same Jarvion. So I think just being able to their offense be more innovative under Jermaine Gales, I think that'll help us out a lot.
Yeah.
We're running
read option with a quarterback who can't run. You know what I'm saying? So the defense, you know what I'm saying? They like, we know Aaron. We like Aaron, but we know he ain't going to keep the ball. Come on now. Yeah. We know he ain't going to keep it. You know, so we can key off on your running back. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Say we was gonna bounce around. So Kendall. I think I already apologized. Eddie Robinson broke out last year. He shocked some people. He made some decisions that, you know what I'm saying, really changed the trajectory of Alabama State.
Yeah, he made the decision. He benched D Davis.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, let's just be real about it, bro. That was what everybody was wondering. Was he gonna have, you know, the
Was he gonna be political about it, or was he gonna win football games? That was the question.
Was he gonna have the balls to go in there and bench the Auburn transfer? You know, when he ain't good, and he did, and it paid off for him.
I mean, I'm not gonna lie to you and say it didn't, because obviously you saw the results. I think when I had an issue with benching Didi at the time, I felt like the time was kind of awkward. I didn't think it suited either guy, especially since, you know, they still played a two quarterback system, you know, for the first couple of games that Dame was starting. So it kind of felt a little off for both players, I think. And I think both players looked out of rhythm when they got in the game. So, but I mean, yeah, that's a tough decision to make. I think that changed the season for them. Ultimately, I do agree. And I think it's interesting because neither one of them is on the team no more. So it's kind of like, you know, it's just a one season sample. But yeah, I think the fact that he's making decisions like that, especially, you know, at the time that he's making them, I think that shows his growth as a coach. 100%.
Yeah. I say another thing that I felt like limited to you guys was play calling. But it was kind of hard for me to tell. Was the play calling being called that way due to the quarterback at the helm, or was it just, you know, this is how I call my plays? But it's hard to argue against, you know, when you see another quarterback come in and have some success, and see the team kind of move the ball a little bit more. I saw Alabama State come out one day and one game, and they're going to air it out. And I saw Alabama State come out and they're going to run you over. So this year, we know you got a new quarterback. Mm-hmm. You got a new offensive coordinator. What is the identity of the offense?
That's a tough question. I think right now, you know, from the outside looking in, because obviously, you know, I haven't really been, you know, at the practices and things like that. But I think Andrew gives you a stability at that quarterback position that you haven't had in a while. I mean, shoot, I was at State for 4 years. They had about 6-7 quarterbacks while I was there, you know, just in rotation. So I think Andrew, prayerfully he stays healthy. I think he gives you a lot more stability than any of the other quarterbacks that you've had. I also think that he has a little bit better, mechanics when it comes to his throwing. And I also think he has a little bit better accuracy as well. So I think that he can provide them a more of a, you know, steady flow when it comes to the throwing. But I mean, as long as I've been at Bama State, and it's, as far as I know, as long as Bama State been Bama State, they run the ball. I think Coach Robinson is still adamant about running the ball. And, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see, because last year, you know, with Juwan Howe and that running back group, I don't think they lived up to expectations. I think a lot of people, especially Coach Robinson, he talked about Juwan early on in the season. You know, he felt like he didn't give him the carries and stuff that he needed the year before. So I think looking forward, it's still going to be run based, I think. But I think you have a lot more flexibility when it comes to your passing game.
Yeah, we know the last few years the defense has kind of been what's led their team and been the calling card for their team. Do you expect the defense to still be kind of the leader of the team, or do you expect it to be more balanced this year with the changes y'all got on offense?
I mean, the defensive player in me wants to say the defense. I mean, because I haven't seen a Alabama State University defense that hasn't been good. You know, for as long as I've been watching them, they've been good. They've been solid. They've been the backbone of the team. I think it's going to be tough, because I think they're losing more this time than they've lost in the past. Last year, we were talking about losing Urshad Davis and Keenan Isaac. This time, we're talking about losing Bubba Adams and Mickey Victor. And I think Bubba by himself is the biggest loss of the whole team, personally. That's a dude that I think deserved to win DPOY at least one time. I think he definitely had a case for two. But, you know, Bubba Adams was a one of a kind. I don't think you easily replace that. And I think the defense is going to show. But like we were talking about as far as Alcorn with running back by committee, I think it's going to be, you know, linebacker by committee. I mean, they have guys on that team. They just got Rico Dozier. I think he's going to be a big help. They got young guys that can step up, I believe. So, you know, Grant DeGraffenreid, you know, Marcus Cunningham, you know, they have certain guys that have done this. That have been on this team already, So I think that they can plug the hole. I don't know if you're going to match the production, obviously, but I think they have guys that can plug the hole. They also lost a lot on the secondary side of things too, though. You know, Kale Jackson, Adrian Maddox, Chauncey Moore. You know, those guys were in rotation for them every game. So I think, you know, the funny part about it is they lose a cornerback to the NFL draft or something like that every year. 2 years ago, it was Keenan Isaac. A year ago, it was Mickey Victor. And now you got James Burgess coming up. And, you know, by all intents and purposes, I think that he can step up in that CB1 role and lead these guys as far as the secondary is concerned. Plus, they got some transfers as well that I think can help them out too.
All right, we got a question in the chat, and I want to ask actually both of you guys, but I'm going to start because this was aimed at you, Kendall. Question is, from Hitman 1887, what's the biggest game for Bama State?
It got to be Fam. It got to be Fam for homecoming. I mean, I think when the schedule came out and people saw that we have Fam, or they have Fam, I think that was okay. Like, this is the same – it's kind of the same story. You know, a year before that, they had Jackson State for homecoming. They lost that game. I'm still a firm believer that you got to beat Jackson State and Fam in order for you to win a SWAC championship or in order for you to go to the SWAC championship and win the East. So I think it's that Fam game. You know, you owe them one. That's a team that you haven't beat, and I think that's the team that you got to beat, regardless of what happened with them and their whole coaching situation and their players. Ultimately, Fam is still the defending champions. So you got to go and beat them, and they're coming to you.
G, same question for Alcorn.
And ain't gonna like this one. And ain't gonna like this one. But we gotta go to the hole and get a dub. We ain't won the hole since about 05. You know, and just for the moxie of our team, just to get it off our back. Every time we go to the hole, we forget how to play football. Every time we go to the hole, we play like we played against Texas Southern. I'm telling you, every time we go, I leave hot, mad, saying I ain't never coming back. And so I think that'll give our coach a lot of confidence with the fans. We go down there and take care of business in the hole and kind of get us on the road to start and go ahead and win the West.
Yeah. Our good man, D2 says, solid analysis, bro. Hey, what's good with you, bro? I got to hit you up too. Get at you. But yeah, talk about biggest game. Other than the FAMU game, Kendall, what game you got circled on the calendar?
Magic City Classic is a given. I think, you know, you got to continue your momentum in the Magic City Classic.
I'm not picking against y'all again. I apologize.
was that the game Khalil said Bama State by 50? Was that the game?
No, he said FAMU was the by 50. He said FAMU by 30, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh yeah, he can be delusional. He can definitely be delusional. But that's a tough one. I think that Jackson State game. I mean, obviously, you know, whenever you beat a team at home during their homecoming, I think that team's gonna come back, you know, win that revenge. So, you know, I think Jackson State gonna come with it. They have a tough end of schedule. I mean, in all honesty, I think Grambling, you may see a different Grambling. I mean, this isn't the same Grambling with Hugh Jackson. I think, you know, if Miles Crawley is under center, I think he's going to come back with a vengeance because by all intents and purposes, he got embarrassed last time they played him. You know, Prairie View, they lost to Prairie View as well. So last year. So I think that's a tough end of schedule. That's a tough stretch. But I would say Jackson State and Fam, because like I said, they got to beat them. They got to beat them.
Yeah. What's up, Miss Nicole? She said, my boy ain't here to defend himself. Well, he out there having a hot girl summer. That's his fault. He was invited. He decided to go twerk for his birthday. let me ask this, because this is a little bit different. Not necessarily what circle. Okay. What's the toughest game you think y'all have on y'all?
You already answered it.
In the hole?
Yeah, I think in the hole, but okay. Just to give you another game, I think the Alabama State game, going to Mobile, coming off playing Southern and Grambling, getting up playing these two big rivals, and having to go to Mobile in Alabama to play them down in the Classic. I think that can be a trap game for us and against a good Alabama State team. So that's going to be another tough game for us that I see on the schedule.
Y'all got lucky last game too, so I would definitely go in there kind of.
So you know, this year we coming, you know, ain't gonna be no luck involved this year. We gonna, you know,
we got. It was self-inflicted, right?
Yeah, self-inflicted.
Yeah. We're not starting that up again, though.
Yeah, so we gotta, you know, we gotta go down there and take care of business, but it's gonna be tough. It's gonna be tough.
Bama State better win week one, though. To me, that's their, like, I get the importance of conference games. Mm-hmm. I think the most important game for Bama State is week one against Central. If you lose that game, man, the hype train is going to have the e-brake pulled on it, because then you got to go to Samford, who's a solid SoCon team that can easily beat you. If you get into conference play 1-2, man, the season turns quickly. For that, even though you don't have any conference losses, the momentum's gone at that point. And so I think Bama State's got to win that week one matchup against Central, and I don't think that's going to be an easy win.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think so either. I definitely agree with you. Going into conference play 1-2 is a hard thing to do. I do think that some of their harder teams are on the back end. So, you know, if you do get that Bethune-Cookman game and then, you know, that FAM game is a toss-up, I think – Valley is a given, and then, you know, you go into the Majesty Classic, you know, hopefully, what, 500? And then you kind of go from there. But you can't lose too many games if you're trying to win the East, you know, because who knows what FAM is going to do. So I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. I want to ask this, both y'all. What's a name we not talking about? What's a, you know, saying, who is somebody on your team? Because, for instance, okay, so Ken, let me ask this. We talked about the losses of Bubba. We talked about the loss of, you know, saying, Victor, you know, saying, Adrian Maddox. Nobody really said much about the loss of Keyshawn.
Yeah, that's the big one. That's the big one. I mean, I think that's your most, outside of Bubba, that's your most important player that you're losing, obviously. I've said it multiple times. I think he was the best wide receiver in the SWAC last year, you know, bar none. There's a reason why he transferred and went to where he went to, and got the offers that he did. But I think Tyree Saunders, I think he has a possibility of stepping into that number one role. I think that he showed once he gets the ball, he can you know, put on the points. He can, you know, do what you need him to do. The wide receiving core, I mean, me and Khalil have been saying this for years, the wide receiving core is one of the deepest, you know, parts of this Alabama State team. But I think now, without having a bona fide number one, I think that these guys get an opportunity to show that. You know, you got Jalen Jones, you got AJ Harrell. I think those three guys can really get into, you know, those wide receiver roles. And, I mean, like I said, I think Tyree Saunders leading them, that speed kills. He has the speed. He proved that in his games. And when you get him the ball, I think that makes a difference. So I think Tyree Saunders is definitely one of those guys.
For Alcorn, I say Devin Dawson, a defensive tackle. He was a 4-year starter for us. Man, listen, I almost cried. I got the call a couple days before it hit the internet. And, you know, I talked to him. He's like, gee, you know, I want to try somewhere else. Lord, I almost cried. He was a 4-year starter for us. A staple on that defense in the middle. He didn't get the notoriety that Malachi Bailey got, because he's an inside guy. And a lot of times he's taking them doubles, eating up them blocks in the middle, and helping out Malachi on the edge. But Devin Dawson has been a staple for us in that defense, one of our leaders on the defense. So losing him late in the spring, I think is a loss. We're not talking about we replaced him with a transfer, but I'm not too big on unproven over proven, and he was a proven kid in the locker room, good kid. So I think that was a big loss for Devin Dawson.
I mean, D2, as he said, man, I wonder how State will use Kinsey, the transfer from Clark Atlanta. So he was cold.
That's one of the dudes I don't know too much about, so I'm not gonna try to speak too much about him. But I will say, I think the talent-wise, I think this team is so wide open, you know, as far as missing so many guys that you depended on for a long time. I think if you get put in your situation and you can prove that you know what you're doing and you can contribute to wins, I mean, I can't see no reason why they wouldn't let him, you know, do what he do.
Mm. VT Wyatt says, so according to y'all, Bama State about to battle for third with BCU and Annie Mae.
I ain't say all that. I mean, honestly, I think Bama State's up there. Like, I really do think that they got an opportunity. But BCU and Annie Mae is crazy. BCU and Annie Mae.
Y'all got to understand who that is coming, okay? That's one of them Jackson State delusionals, okay? So you gotta take everything with a grain of salt now.
I'm sorry. All right.
Shout out to Vic.
Anime is crazy though. That's crazy.
Oh man. From PV versus everybody said y'all battling for second. We'll get there. We ain't even start the line part yet. Y'all, golly, y'all come on. Coming out. We ain't got there yet. I guess we go ahead and get there. Let's go down the schedule. Who want to go first? You know, do we need flip card?
Don't matter.
Oh, man.
All right, let's go. I go with Khalil. Kendall. I go at you. I don't know if you're gonna be in Khalil mode or not, but here we go.
I'm not Khalil, y'all. So I'm gonna let y'all know that right now. I'm trying to come in this, you know, realistic. Obviously, you know, I'm a graduate, so I gotta be a little bit biased, but yeah, I'm gonna come in with a little bit of
What's good, Zo? All right, here we go. North Carolina Central in Miami, the Orange Blossom Classic.
You know what? I'm gonna go to win. We start 1-0.
All right. I ain't gonna argue. Miles.
They gotta get that get back. 2-0. They got to.
Yeah.
Ain't no way you losing twice to them.
All right. Samford. At Samford.
I go L.
Okay. Bethune-Cookman. At Bethune-Cookman.
I go. Yeah, that's the thing that got me a little hesitant, but I'll go 3-1.
All right. FAMU homecoming.
The alum in me wants to say that's a dub, but I'll go realistic. I think it's 3-2 for right now.
All right. Mississippi Valley. I don't care what you alum, visitor. You say anything other than oh,
okay. That's a dub.
Hey, put you off the show. A&M Magic City Classic.
Come on now. It's a dub.
All right. Port City Classic.
Yeah, think wisely now. Think wisely. All
right. You lucky Khalil and I were here because Khalil will hype this one up. I'ma say. Give us a dub. Mm.
All right. I like it.
Who we at? 6-2?
Yeah. At Grambling in the hole.
I think they might sneak one out on us. I go 6-3.
All right. Jackson stayed at home.
That's going to be tough. 6-4. I go L on that one.
All right.
It's close.
All right. Prairie View.
7-4.
All right. A lot of people say that might be the preview of the I ain't going to go there. I'll let that be. Turkey Day Classic.
8-4. Come on now.
All right. I'll put that down. All right.
You a little too reasonable for my liking.
I told you that though. Man, I'm trying to work on my sports analyst. Like, I'm trying to work on this, man. So I gotta be a little bit, you know.
When you come on here, man.
Eight and four is sitting at the house though. 8-4 yeah. Sitting at the house because you got like 3 swag losses. You at the house.
Hey, and my man, I like my man Zoe said it won't be close. You said that one with Jackson State. He said it won't be close. They gonna get their get back in y'all house. I'm just saying.
For, Y'all added all that talent to go 8-4 and be at the house in December.
Yeah, well, that's
crazy. It's new talent, though. That's new talent, though. And you lost a lot, too.
I would just let you know.
Keep that in mind.
When we talk with Jackson State, with Zoe on here, I'm going to boost it up. I want him to say they going undefeated, beat y'all by four.
They going to say that every year. You ain't got to worry. Zoe, that's one person. Zoe been saying this before Deion. That ain't no Deion talk. That's not Deion. Zoe been saying that since they was 3-8, that they was going to play in the sweat championship game. I swear, I got a post on Facebook right now where they went 3-8, and he said they was going to be in the sweat championship game. I swear. This is how they do it. This is how they do it.
Oh, Lionel said we beat Bama State 9 years in a row, mind you, and no one knows who the quarterbacks were. Ooh.
Dang.
Mm. No disrespect to any of those quarterbacks, but I don't know if any of them were Andrew Boddy. I'll say it like that. I just talked about the six or seven guys we had.
I do got a question about that, though. Are you concerned about him being able to stay healthy for a full season?
I ain't never thought about that.
I mean, I think anytime a guy is coming off of a season-ending injury, I think that is a concern. But I think that one of the things that he's benefiting from that Aditi didn't benefit from, a Dame didn't have, he's having a full training camp, a full summer, all of that stuff with ASU. And I think for all intents and purposes, I'm pretty sure his linemen, like, they actually like the dude. So, I mean – I think having a group that you grow with early on, I think that changes things. And I think Andrew Boddy has proven that he's already a leader, just by the stuff that I've seen him do. So I mean, I think they're gonna ride for him. So I think they're gonna keep him safe personally.
Makes sense.
I'm trying to pull this back up because it was Jared Lott said PV beat Boddy too. So,
but did they beat him with ASU though? It's different. It's a difference. Bama State Boddy is different from Texas Southern Boddy. Mark my words.
That's the type of stuff I need you to do more early in the show.
Yeah, I had to get warmed up before.
What is God? Tell Kendall. Khalil, he cannot take no more hot girl summers off. He needs to be here talking stuff because he would have had y'all undefeated.
Yeah. Yo, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. When you sent the invite a month ago, right?
Yeah,
he know when his birthday is. That's what I was saying. Yeah, bro, you knew about this for a month.
He might just now saying this. He might not knew Megan Thee Stallion was gonna be close to him. Though. I'm just I just want to say I'm joking. I don't know if he had a Megan Thee Stallion concert, but I can see him now just
going crazy.
crazy for his birthday.
Did y'all hear about the strip club story?
No.
Oh man, y'all missed the story.
I heard about it. Boy, the funniest thing ever.
Yeah, man. He having a good summer. I'll say it like that. He having a good summer. Hey,
he lost. He out here with Glorilla and Sixer. Oh, man. All right, G, you ready? I know you're gonna lie to us. There we go.
Just skip to the end. I'll try it out.
Yeah, all right, UAB.
That's an L. That's an L.
Vanderbilt.
Yeah, let's go ahead and get to the good stuff.
Edward Waters.
Oh, that's a dub. That's a big dub. I got us that's a 60-piece. 60-piece. Mm. Yeah, we're gonna put up 60. We ain't put up 60 in a couple years. They're gonna 60-piece all flat, lemon pepper. Gonna be a 60-piece introducing, you know, Cedric Thomas. It's gonna be a good 60-piece. Yep.
All right. McNeese.
That's another dub. I think we got that number. They're rebuilding, got a lot of new players coming in, but I think we'll be able to take care of.
All right. Valley.
Dub.
Homecoming against Pine Bluff.
Dub. Easy.
All right. To the hole.
Hey, I think we get off the snide this year. I ain't really too high on Grambling. I'm high on the time they bring in, but I think they bring in kind of late. So I think that's gonna hurt them. So I think we can go down and get a dub. And I think our players will be prepared. I think we're gonna go out there and be prepared this year. A lot of time we come out slow and just lethargical. And I think playing for this coach, it ain't gonna happen. So I think we'll be prepared. We go down there and beat them. Get off the snide. Right,
Crawley for 300.
Not gonna happen.
All right,
300.
Unless we up by a lot and he starts singing around, slinging it around late or something.
Oh,
like that.
Yeah, whatever. You know what I'm saying? 300,
you know.
Two touchdowns.
All right. Y'all just going to get a tent and stay in Louisiana Southern.
Yeah. Oh, that's another dude. They put us on a homecoming. So we got two homecomings. Because we got Southern homecoming, and the following week is our homecoming. So that's our first homecoming. And that's our first. I don't have Southern winning about three games this year. So and it won't, one of them won't be against us. So yeah, we're gonna go down there and we're gonna go down there and do them bad. See, the game against Grambling gonna be a close game. We ain't gonna do Grambling bad in the hole. But what we gonna do at our first homecoming in Baton Rouge, gonna open up some eyes. Mm-hmm. We're gonna be get real disrespectful. We ain't gonna kneel at the end, we're gonna throw it to the end zone. I told my head coach, don't kneel it at the end of the game, play action and throw it to the end zone. We're gonna play action, throw it to the end zone at the end of the game. Yeah, I wanna get disrespectful in Baton Rouge.
I like it. All right, Alabama State.
I got it as an L. I think that's a trap game for us. Don't go to clapping. Listen, don't start celebrating. Listen, I got that as a trap game for us just because coming out of these two emotional, high, big-time games, Grambling Southern back-to-back like that, having to go to Alabama.
Yeah, you see how he doing all of this talking just to say it's going to be an L?
You see what I mean? I'm just saying. I gotta give us one.
Why we doing all this emotional game? Yeah, this and that. Hey,
yeah, we gonna be. Emotional. And you know, we ain't gonna take them. That's gonna be the team we overlook. We ain't going down here taking them. You know what I'm saying? We gonna overlook them. You know, it's just Alabama State. You know what I'm saying? That's it. And I think that's gonna bite us in the butt because we always overlook little teams like that. You know what I'm saying? So, you know.
He said little team.
Yeah, we almost beat y'all last year. What are you talking about?
We overlooked y'all.
It took y'all overtime to beat us.
Look, we overlooked y'all. I hate when we overlook the little teams like that. We really got to get better. We really got to get better overlooking little team.
Okay.
Yeah. Texas Southern.
Oh, payback. We got 40 on them. Yeah, we're going to put 40 on them. Payback.
All right. Prairie View.
That's going to be a good one. This is a toss-up game, but I'm going to give it to us because I'm a big, bad Brady and I'm biased. So I'm going to give it to us. We play pretty good when we go to Texas. So I got us going down there and get a dub. We return a lot on defense, and I think it's going to help us out towards the end of the year. So I got us going down and take care of business.
And Jackson State.
Come on. Them folks struggled to beat us when they had NFL players on the roster. They had Hall of Fame DC. Now they got a 17-year-old DC. They DC is 17 years old, no experience. Good God, it's my guy. And so I can say this. He's 17-year-old, no experience. Nobody hold his hand on that sideline. He got to come to the reservation and play a coach that taught him everything he know. Ain't going to happen. You know what I'm saying? So we going to know what he's coming with. Good guy, love the dude, great safety coach, but it's gonna be a close game, you know what I'm saying? It's gonna be a close game. We're gonna take care of business on the reservation.
All right. If my tally is correct, it's 9-3.
Now, I like the way that's what we should have been last year. But you know, we had some slip ups.
That's how you know he was just talking. He didn't even know that.
That's what I had us going 9-3. One swag loss.
Hey, I got a pretty tough schedule though, bro.
Yeah, it is. It's pretty tough. We like it tough though. We like it tough, and I think people don't understand what we have. We signed the best mid-year signing class in the history of our program this year. The day after McNair left, we signed 25 kids. The best mid-year signing class was able to go through spring with them. So you see everybody on Twitter bragging about all these kids they bringing in late. I was already on campus. Been on campus, learned the system, went through the spring, and so the little pieces we had to do, they had to go back and get just plug and play guys. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna be ready, and I think we're better when we the underdog. You know what I'm saying? We better when we the underdog. You know what I'm saying? We ain't good as front runners. We better as the underdog. So I think they're gonna help us out. Oh, I believe it. You lose the Bama State Grambling. Grambling, people. Come on now. We ain't doing all that, no.
I like that prediction.
I don't. I hate it. Okay. All right, Tori, chill out. Let's keep this thing. Let's keep this thing good now.
Mm-mm. All right.
I got us shocking some folks.
All right. So Kendall gave a very humble 8 wins. G, you said, you know, saying 9 wins.
Zach was most realistic.
Yeah. I think Kendall might be lying on the wrong side. thing. And G, I don't know if you lying or not.
I might have did a little lying. Okay, I always, you know, you gotta sprinkle a little lie in there, you know what I'm saying? And every truth is a little lie, you know what I'm saying? I gotta sprinkle a little lie in there, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. I've been asking this on the Golden Boot side, but I hadn't asked on HBCU House. So I'm gonna ask this. We all know what July 19th is. We know what's happening. NCAA returns the game. I need to know, Zach, what feature are you most looking forward to on the game?
Man, I might play a 60-year dynasty night one. I mean, they're going to force me to retire. It's going to be from the time the game drops until I wake up the next day, we're going to have two dynasty plays for sure.
That's my answer, too. I was going to say dynasty. I can't. That's all I play.
I was, too.
I love that dynasty mode. Now, yeah, you know, man. I'm gonna take a team and build them up, you know, and you know that's I love to do that.
That's the only way. Go change the schedule and play all the top teams and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Convince that 5-star running back to go to ULM or somewhere. You know what I mean? Like,
Now you got transfer portal.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, that's gonna be crazy.
At least right now, early reports and everything we know, there's no HBCUs, no FCS schools on there. I'm praying there's a DLC or something that we can purchase to add these teams. I don't know if it'll happen.
Just give it a week and somebody will create our
FCS. I know they will, but yeah. If you could add one feature, what would it be?
Oh man!
So back in the gap, they had it to where you could redo some of the most historic, like NCAA college games and stuff. Some of them comebacks that you had to try to recreate the comeback and all that kind of stuff. If they would do that with just the games that's happened since we've last had the game. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like the kick six and all them games that's happened since we last had the game, that'll be pretty cool.
I go from, you know, they took out going from high school and Roll to Glory. You know what I'm saying? I add that in. That's what I did. I used to like going to high school and beating up on all the teams.
That was the only point that made sense, though, because you had to work your way up to get the good offers and shit. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm.
And you can't even take your Roll to Glory player to Madden.
Yeah, there's two things for me. One, since I'm an O-lineman at heart, I wish you were able to play offensive line.
That's another thing.
And like Road to Glory. I know it'd be boring for the average person, but for me, bro, I would be pancaking everybody up and down the field, blindside blocks. I would have a blast. The other thing is, it was never in the NCAA football games. Did you guys ever play the NCAA like March Madness games?
Yeah,
like being able to change what TV station you play on, like all the you can play with CBS, you can play with ESPN, you can play the NCAA neutral one. I wish we had we could play a game on Fox, NBC, ESPN, ABC. You got to pick your broadcasters, all that.
That'd be dope.
I think the Road to Glory thing. I mean, that's the excitement of it. I think going from high school to the pros, you know, ultimately going into Madden. I think that's probably my biggest thing, because like that journey, it made it that much more sweet. So I would say that one for me.
Yeah, I'm with Blue though. I wish we had more options of positions that you could pick from. Mm-hmm. Glory, you know what I mean? Like I used to always pick like a linebacker, or safety, or somebody like that. You know, but they don't give you that many options on defense. You know what I mean? Like, and you can't go be a DN. You know, like they need to give you more options.
Yeah.
I can see Zach over there, though, working his way up to the second level and shit. You know what I mean?
Trying
to get to that backer.
Yeah.
You're playing realistic as hell for no reason. It'd be so boring for the average person to watch.
Yeah. Oh, man. Looking forward to the game, man. I'm looking forward to the season. We were talking about it before the show. I don't know. It seems like the older I get, the more excited I get in the offseason. I'm definitely looking forward to, you know, the MEAC Swag Challenge. Somebody said it, and I don't know, but it might be a possibility. We might see a Swag sweep of the MEAC.
I hope so. We need one. We need one. I hope so.
Yeah, I would like to see it.
I would like to see it.
I mean, because okay, so
I don't think blue feeling that one. Blue like
yeah, not at all, not at all.
you got the Orange Blossom, which is I mean Orange Blossom and of course Celebration Bowl, but FAMU Norfolk State,
So you think Bama State beating Central?
That's what it sounds like.
I think he got Central over Bama State.
Yeah. I'm leaning toward bro. Central's D-line is going to be so good next year, especially the interior. Mm-hmm. I think that defense is going to be solid. I think that's a 50-50 game. The game I'm thinking of, and you guys wanted hot takes on the show, South Carolina State FAMU is not going to be an easy win week one for FAM. Mm-hmm. I think they're going to be sleeping in that one. You're going to be getting the rings coming, and then you give Chendis and that coaching staff all that film from week zero to watch, and you have no idea what South Carolina State is going to look like. And then the other thing is the Celebration Bowl, you just don't know. I mean,
they
could be a terrible matchup. Like, if I don't want to pick out a program, but if PV goes and they get a matchup like Morgan or someone, I'm not picking PV to go win anything. So I think that'd be tough, but this is the best year to do it because you've had some bad matchups like SWAC versus MEAC out of conference wise past few years. There just weren't good matchups at all.
Just for clarity here, and then I'm gonna come back to that, Zach. Charles said you could take creative players to Madden, just no existing player can cross over. Okay. I get it, you know.
That's fair.
Yeah, that's fair. I want to ask this because we talked to the MEAC guys. Josh gave an elegant explanation. This whole hoopla, and I know Zach, you did, you know, since talked about it on your show. The whole hoopla about, you know, moving the Celebration Bowl up and the SWAC, you know, saying gotta, you know, they ain't gonna have no time off, and the MEAC got a advantage and all this kind of stuff. They need to move the game, move the Bayou Classic, move Turkey Day. Zach, I know you had a good take on it. What's your thoughts?
I mean, listen, neither one of the last two things you mentioned are happening. So you're not moving the Bayou Classic. You're not moving the Turkey Day Classic. Right. And the SWAC Championship makes way too much money for the SWAC and the school. So, you know, I think Dr. Cavill was one that made the point. The SWAC Championship is the whole reason that the SWAC has a bigger payout than some Group of Five conferences to its members. Yeah. So you can't move it. And at the end of the day, the argument against the playoffs and other things are we don't make any money. Well, if that's the case, make your money and don't complain about anything.
Yeah.
Because at the end of the day, if they wouldn't have moved it and the TV ratings would have came back, let's just be honest, guys. If LSU was playing Ohio State on the same time as the Celebration Bowl in one of those first-round playoff games, the TV viewership would be atrocious. And then everyone would be complaining about how ESPN doesn't like the Celebration Bowl and doesn't care, and they left it on that weekend. We should move it up. We should move it back. They moved it up to put it as the first bowl game, you know, keep it on ABC in its own spot. There's no other game on at that same time. You get everything, but if you want the money, then just be quiet and go get the money. You get the SWAC Championship. You get the Bayou Classic. You get the Turkey Day Classic and the Celebration Bowl. If you want rest, you have to give something up. You can't have both, and beggars can't be choosers. So you either want the rest or you want the money. And at the end of the day, it should just be a pointless debate.
Yeah. I agree. I do think it gives the MEAC an advantage, but so what? I said we're not moving up. We're not moving none of them classes. So what are we talking about it for? We ain't going to move it.
Well, I get the MEAC advantage as far as rest, but at the same time, there's something to be said for continuity and keeping your time and your rhythm and all that kind of stuff of playing, though. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah, that too.
So if you were, let's say if you were Grambling and you played in the Bayou Classic Swag Championship game. Well, you done played back to back weeks, so you still fresh. You know what I mean? You don't have the rust that a MEAC team will have. So it kind of worked both ways.
Yeah, it do, because I think the other side of it is the injuries. I know one time we went and our entire we had to start three defensive ends on the defensive line. That's what we had to start up front, because we were totally just, you know, we were broken up. You know what I'm saying? That's a part of football. But, you know, we had a month off to get ready. You never know the outcome of one of those games. You know what I'm saying? You know, so that's the other side of it. So it's I can see both sides of it.
Yeah, I think it's a like Zach said, I think it's an interesting hour. It's a pointless conversation pretty much, because every time, you know, HBCUs, we talk about money. You know, money, you know, drives a lot of the decisions that we make. Plus, we're talking about history. One thing about HBCUs, they don't play about the history. When you're talking about moving classics around and stuff like that, I think you're messing with something that don't really get messed with much, and I don't think should be messed with in this situation.
Something, the whole rest thing, unless you are Alabama State, Grambling, or Southern, you have that week before off, and then you would play championship and then Celebration Bowl. But even with that, if I'm not mistaken, Southern Graham, and I know Alabama State, they have that week before the off too. So they still get – it's not like they're going to go – because I think somebody, co-pilot, 1911, said that they will, if Graham or Southern win the SWAC, they go 8 or 9 straight. If I'm not mistaken, they have a week before the Bayou.
Yeah.
So it's, they still have an extra week in there. So that whole rest thing, I think people – overreacting by it, in my way.
Well, every year that the SWAC wins, no one's going to mention it. And then the MEAC fans are going to be like, well, we were off for 4 weeks and all of this stuff. Yeah. And every year it's the opposite. Yeah. The SWAC fans are going to complain that their team didn't have enough rest. And I've mentioned on my show, I don't think injuries are going to be as big of a talking point until it happens. And I kind of compared it to the Davius Richard injury and the HBCU Legacy Bowl. Nobody was talking about that. It happens once, and now at the talking point, we got to make a change. Like, let's just say Alabama State goes to the SWAC Championship. Knock on wood, Andrew Boddy gets hurt. They find a way to win. Now they're going to the Celebration Bowl without Andrew Boddy. The whole conversation shifts at that point. And you guys know what would happen on social media. You guys would know what would be put out there by coaches and everything. That until that happens, I don't think this is going to be a big conversation. But I'll be interested to see if that happens, and I hope it doesn't, what the move is, because there's really nothing to do, because you can't ask the MEAC to host a conference championship. And I mentioned this, the SWAC brands make so much more money than the MEAC brands. I don't think a MEAC championship game would make money. I think that would lose money for both schools involved and the conference. So you can't do that. And the MEAC ends their schedule when at the end, like when the rest of the FCS does. So you can't ask them to do anything. I just think we're kind of at an impasse unless you guys want to move the Celebration Bowl after Christmas. But I don't think anybody wants to do that, because then you got a team not playing for a month.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's tough.
And you gotta feed the players, keep them on campus. That's more money you gotta sell out. Trying to keep them on campus.
It ain't just that neither though, but the transfer portal gonna be open. You're gonna have coaching staff trying to go get transfer guys and go out there recruiting.
Yeah, that's gonna be a mess. That's not even worth it.
On your team, you're gonna have players on your team leaving the transfer portal. You know what I mean? And the game ain't even happened yet.
Yeah, that's not worth it at all.
I will say this about the game. Something I know Josh mentioned it in chat. It's on the same day as the Army-Navy game. And I think it's Army-Navy game. I think Heisman Trophy is that day. And then there's the Camellia Bowl.
Camellia Bowl. Yeah. It's like in Montgomery.
Yeah. And he said, you know, people be itching to watch, you know, say another football game, you know, say nobody, you know. And I thought about it. And if you think about it, Army-Navy game goes off. Now you're like, oh, man. Or you know, saying, oh, we got Celebration Bowl today. You know, I get that's some football to get to watch. You know, oh, not just Army-Navy. Oh, then we got another bowl game after that. Mm-hmm. I think this is a good thing. Ratings might go up.
Yeah, agreed.
And, I mean, if you think about – you can go, Zach.
Oh, no, go ahead, man.
when you think about, you know, in 2021, when there wasn't anybody else playing football, like, that's a perfect example of how HBCUs can get that exposure. True. I think that works to our advantage more than it hurts us, honestly.
Yeah. And there's no NFL. That's the biggest thing, because NFL doesn't start playing Saturday games till the next week. Because that's what hurt the ratings this year, is that there was an NFL game on what NFL Network?
It was I can tell you exactly who it was. Yeah. It was Cleveland and – it was either Cleveland or Pittsburgh versus Bengals.
And NFL, like, it doesn't matter. They could put that NFL game on the most obscure channel ever, and it's outdoing anything on TV. Yeah. The NFL dominates TV ratings.
And it'd be two last place teams playing, and it's still have good rating.
Amazon TV, it don't matter.
Yeah, you can put the thing on Peacock, and it's still going to
happen. It don't matter.
Yeah, we've seen, you know, how many people have bought Amazon Prime and Peacock just to watch games. So, agree, man.
I still have Peacock because of that playoff game. That's the only reason I have it. I just forgot to cancel my subscription. Me
too. I got Peacock because I'm waiting for Bel-Air's new season.
Yeah, me too. I got Bel-Air and football. It was Bel-Air.
Pretty much.
Yeah. So, all right, man. Listen, man, as always, you know, so appreciate y'all coming through. Before y'all go, man, Zach, tell the people where they can find you.
Yeah, man, you can find me, the Blue Blood Coach Fred. Also, FCS Football Central, my guy G, or Gerald from Draft HBCU, doing a bunch of scouting reports, positional rankings. My guy Timothy doing great work over there, si.com/college/FCS. But, man, that's where you can find me, man. Appreciate y'all having me again.
Hey, no problem, no problem. Our good man G.
What's up? You can find me at Swagging the Fool everywhere. Swagging the Fool on Twitter, Facebook, anywhere. Just stand outside the screen, Swagging the Fool. I might pop up. Boof. You know what I'm saying? I'm just here to represent the Big Bad Braves, because we're the biggest, the baddest, and the bravest. Check out 1871collective.com. Any eye of the right way.
All right. And our man Kendall.
Hey, man, everybody, y'all can check us out. Me and my partner in crime, Khalil Stewart, you can check us out at Wildcard2K. Wildcard Podcast on YouTube. We talk about HBCU sports. We talk about pro sports. And we talk about real life stuff. We talk about a whole lot of stuff. It's a lot of great content. And, hey, if you thought I was a little, you know, a little conservative, Khalil's the complete opposite. So you get a nice little combination. So make sure that y'all check us out. Donate to the Cash App. Join the family. And, hey, let's have some fun.
Yeah. You came in here like Mitt Romney, and Khalil's going to come out like Sarah Palin.
Yeah, man. I mean, that's the dynamic.
Hey, I'm proud of y'all too, bro. Y'all represent for the younger HBCU. You know what I'm saying? Your alum just got your degree, man. I'm proud of y'all. Keep representing for all of HBCUs, doing it the right way. Representing, doing big things, bro. So I'm proud of y'all.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it. Yes, sir.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back on Monday. We got the other half of the Magic City Classic. Got Alabama A&M. And we'll be talking to Valley. I'm gonna be honest. If Valley come on here and say they get 6-7 wins, we know who lying is.
But cut it off.
but we're gonna have them on, because they Valley gonna catch somebody sleeping. They might catch two teams sleeping this year.
I say that every year, and they embarrass me. I'm not saying this year.
I had some faith in them last year. I don't know about them this year.
I don't know. That what's the dude? Williams. I can't think of the quarterback.
Yeah, quarterback. Yeah.
Big boy.
Yeah, we're gonna see though. But like I said, we'll be back on Monday. Appreciate everybody for tuning in. Do us a favor, like, share, subscribe. Tell somebody about it. Tell your baby mama about it. Tell a cousin about it. You know what I'm saying? Make sure y'all come back and check us out. Like that. We out. This show was presented by BetOnline.ag.
Bring me my money.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.